And the court will proceed to the sixth case, the United States v. Gadsden.
May it please the court, I'm Attorney Patrick Cafferty. I appear on behalf of the defendant appellant, Stanley Gadsden. What's before the court is the issue of whether the district court properly applied Section 3B1.4, which contemplates the use of a minor in the commission of a crime, to Mr. Gadsden's sentence as far as the guidelines were concerned at the time of sentencing. It is our position that the application was improper, that Mr. Gadsden should not have been held responsible for the use of a minor. I think to some degree it's a very fact-specific case, so I think it's important to note that the factual basis for the finding of guilt, which is specifically laid out in the plea transcript, was the facts on paragraph 5 of the plea agreement. And what those facts contemplated was basically the statement that had been made by Jamal Gadsden, who is the minor. We certainly concede that he was a minor at the time. I think it's reasonable to believe that his brother would have known that he was a minor. But the issue here is that the factual basis that the court relied upon did not contain information that would have allowed the court to make the finding that Stanley Gadsden had used his brother. The factual basis clearly demonstrates that Glynis Green, who was a teller at the bank that was ultimately robbed, was the person who was in the leadership position, and she is the one who directed everyone within the group to do what it is they ultimately did. There was evidence, in fact, that on the way to the bank, Glynis Green had called Jamal Gadsden, who again was the minor, to direct him to do certain things and give him information about what was going on inside of the bank.
But your premise here is that only one person could have been directing Jamal, and it was Gadsden who was actually driving the car to the bank, right? And he's the getaway person, and it seems to me a permissible inference from the facts is that he too is using his younger brother for this purpose.
At the time of sentencing, the court basically said that it believed that Stanley Gadsden had recruited the other people, including
brought in Jamal as well as the others.
Correct. And my position is that that is not supported by the factual basis that the court relied upon. I think that there is a gap there in the facts where the court made the assumption that because Glynis Green had initially brought the idea to Stanley Gadsden, that he must have been the one that then recruited the other individuals involved.
Well, it says around November 11th, Gadsden got together with his younger brother, Jamal, and other individuals and planned the robbery of the bank.
And that's accurate, but that's not to suggest that Stanley Gadsden's the one that called the meeting, or that Stanley Gadsden is the one who ran the meeting, or Stanley Gadsden is the one who directed the other people.
I don't think he had to run the meeting. He brought his brother along with him.
And I don't think that's supported by the facts. I think the facts clearly support the fact that they were present for the planning of the event. But again, I don't believe that simply planning it together, participating it together, is what's contemplated by
the... You had a younger brother and you attended a meeting planning a bank robbery. Do you think you'd be involving your younger brother?
Well, and I think that's one of the issues, is the assumption is that there is a positive relationship between the two of them, and that because Stanley was the older brother, that he must have had some sway over his younger brother. And again, it's simply not supported by the facts that the court relied upon for the finding of guilt and ultimately the sentencing.
What do you think would have been necessary for that to show?
I believe that what would have been necessary was some factual basis upon which the court could have relied that would have allowed the court to make a determination that he directed, commanded, encouraged, intimidated, counseled, trained, procured, recruited, or solicited.
Procured or recruited?
Correct. And that's what the court, finding of the court.
I asked you, what kind of type of factual basis would that take?
Either the defendant stipulating within the plea agreement that that was the case, or the defendant in his version of facts that he agreed to with the pre-sentence writer agreeing that that's one of the things that he did. And that's not what happened. What we did...
Well, you don't have to use exactly the language of the statute, but you could. It seems to me that, as I described it earlier, if you bring your younger brother along to a meeting planning a bank robbery, pretty close to procuring his...
If there was, if it was clear within the facts that he brought his brother to the meeting,
right,
I would agree with
suppose
you.
Suppose they came separately.
And that's what I think the facts support, is that there...
I mean, what difference does it make?
Well, the difference
how
is...
How did he find out to come there?
And that's the issue. I think that Glynis
well,
Green is the one...
Well, there have to be certain assumptions made. I mean, you can't just say, well, they just accidentally showed up to plan a bank robbery?
I agree with you. I mean, at some point there had to have been communication between somebody to get all of the parties there, and my position is that was Glynis Green who did that. Glynis Green was held responsible by the court for the use of a minor. No one else who participated in the bank robbery was held responsible for the use of a minor except for Stanley Gadsden, and I simply do not believe that it was supported by the facts.
It was Ms. Green who contacted Stanley, right, to start the ball rolling.
The facts that the court relied on indicated that she did contact Stanley.
And is there any indication in the record whether she had ever any contact with Jamal?
No. But
so
there
you
is
think it's so to draw the inference then, with no contact between Ms. Green and Jamal, that that Jamal came into the circle of operatives by his brother is just too great a leap?
Yes. That for this kind of an enhancement to be applicable, there has to be specific facts on which the court can rely to make that finding. And I also think it's interesting, Your Honor, that...
Well, I mean, the court is relying on facts. It's just that you think it's drawing inferences that are too extensive based on the facts that are there. It's not like the court just pulled some kid off the street and said you used him. The court is... It's circumstantial evidence that Jamal was brought in by his brother.
I think best case it's circumstantial evidence. And again, the court indicated it believed that Stanley had solicited or recruited Jamal.
And they just have to find this by a preponderance, right? This is just a sentencing factor.
Yes.
Yeah.
The government, in defending the court's position at this point, is not saying that there's evidence of solicitation or procurement. The government is saying that there is evidence of encouraging, because by participating in the same event or the same crime with his brother, his mere presence must have been an encouragement. And I don't believe that that's an accurate interpretation of what's contemplated here, and I don't think it's supported by the facts.
But it sounded from what you said a few minutes ago that nothing short of an out-and-out stipulation or confession would do for you, and it seems to me that that goes well beyond normal sentencing law.
No, Your Honor, I believe that had the government submitted a version of facts that the court found to be credible and the court relied upon at the time of sentencing that made it clear that Stanley Gadsden had exercised some sway over his brother to get him involved, that the court could rely on that. I think that the facts the court relied on, though, were sufficiently vague that for the court to make that finding was the court basically making an assumption that was unsupported.
But there's no evidence that anybody else brought Jamal into this, is there?
There's no evidence as to exactly who brought him in. I think that the reasonable inference is that Glynis Green is the one who planned this, clearly exercised a leadership role, and there is evidence within Jamal's statement, which is contained in the factual basis, where he says, Glynis Green contacted me by telephone on the way to the bank robbery. Clearly, she is directing him as to what his role is.
So we can't call Stanley Glynis's lieutenant, though.
I would not concede that that's supported by the facts. I think that was the court's assumption
yes.
at the time of the sentencing, but my position is that it's not supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Scafferty. Mr. Koenig.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jonathan Koenig, and I appear on behalf of the United States. The sentencing judge in this case looked at 3B1.4, and he looked at the undisputed facts in the case, and he concluded that this was exactly the kind of situation that the commission had in mind when it created a sentencing enhancement for use of a minor. Now, unfortunately, when the parties were negotiating the plea agreement in this case, they did not contemplate this issue, and I take some responsibility for that. Mr. Jamal Gadsden was prosecuted in state court for a different crime, and for a lot of reasons, including the hurdles that you have to go through in prosecuting a juvenile, in the federal system, we elected not to include him in this group of defendants. So he sort of slipped our minds in the process of putting together the plea agreement. Nonetheless, that agreement, I think, contains all the facts necessary for the judge to conclude that there was encouragement, there was partnering, and there was use, as those terms have been used in the court's decisions. We shouldn't confuse leadership or even moral culpability with use, as it's defined in the guideline as and the court's case law.
But would you distinguish between situation number one, in which Jamal is being used by Stanley, and situation number two, in which they're just joint venturers? They just are each involved in this bank robbery, or is mutual involvement enough?
I thought I understood Bolin, or perhaps it was Ramsey, to say that when you partner with somebody who's a minor, you are encouraging them and therefore using them. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I believe that's the law.
Mm-hmm.
And as for sort of gaps in the factual admissions, I think it was, you know.
So it's just enough. So why didn't the rest of these people get charged or have the 3B1.4 enhancement then?
Well, I think Judge Stadtmuller's reasoning relied in part on the family relationship between Stanley and Jamal.
But if you're right about Ramsey, they all should have gotten it.
Well, that's what we argued for, Your Honor. We didn't win those arguments.
Did they know his age?
Under the law, they didn't have to, but I believe Mr. Gatson has admitted that he knew his brother was 17.
Well, no, I don't mean the brother, but the other participants.
Co-defendants, I'm not sure if there was anything in the record to establish their state of knowledge about Jamal's age. But just to conclude, when I was preparing for this argument, I was thinking in terms of, was there legal error in applying the guidelines to the facts? But when I listened to Mr. Cafferty, it almost sounds like he's saying that Judge Stadtmuller committed an error in making certain inferences from the admitted facts, in which case we're in clear error land, and the standard of review is very deferential. I think the inferences that he did make were perfectly reasonable and should survive that level of deference here in the Court of Appeals. Unless you have further questions for me, I'd be content to rest on a brief.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Cafferty.
Your Honor, a couple of quick points here. In terms of the distinguishing between partnering and some other form of using, the case law that counsel cites to was attempting to distinguish between whether it was required that the minor be a subordinate of the other participant or whether they were equals within the crime. And here, I don't think there's anything to support the claim that he was subordinate. I think best case, the government is arguing that they were partners, and simply saying that they're partners doesn't mean that 3B1.4 is applicable. You know, again, the definition here that we're talking about is use, and then there are very specific activities that are laid out. And again, it's my position that none of those are satisfied by the facts that were available.
Ms. Cafferty, I'm looking at the the sentencing hearing transcript, and Judge Stadtmuller says, and Mr. Gatson, it appears, at the behest of the teller, Ms. Green, brought each of the other participants to the planning stage, and some of whom came in much later in the planning stage. Then he goes on, and he says, Mr. Gatson's role in all of this is considerably different than the other defendants, namely Nick Miller, Jackson Bonds, and David Anglin. He concludes, and I'm skipping a few lines, and are there any other objections to the guidelines, Mr. Cafferty? And you say no, Your Honor. Now, at that point, isn't he discussing the very presumption we're all talking about? And did you at that point suggest to him that he did not have that basis for. I don't find it in the transcript. The point you're making to us today, I guess.
I specifically objected to the application of 1B3.4. I don't recall exactly if the judge seemed to be asking me for a specific discussion of the facts, but it's my position that it was the court's independent obligation to make the finding. And again, I think that there are gaps there. I think that the court's assumption is that because Stanley Gadsden was the first one told, he must have been the one that recruited the other people, and I just don't believe that it's supported by the facts.
Yeah, but I guess where – perhaps I'm just missing it. What point did you make that objection to the 3B4 enhancement?
I submitted it in writing in advance of the sentencing hearing, and then there was a discussion of it at the sentencing hearing as well.
You know, perhaps I don't have a complete report here.
It's supposed to be 25 pages.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, but you felt that you clearly objected, and the judge just chose not to make a finding, just jumped ahead and made the presumption.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coney. Case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to